Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to be talking about the best areas to invest in 2026 and also some areas that you might want to avoid. So it's going to be an interesting show.
Yep.
The markets are changing. Bank of England have just dropped base rate down to 3.75%. So we've finally got to that place now where cash is king. Might be over. We might be back to the land of leverage again.
Yep.
Land of borrowing, which is always a good place. So with that being said, let's have a talk about some of the best areas that we think are to invest in the UK and even worldwide. Not all our areas are actually in the UK in 2026. And we can also talk about some of the worst. So
okie dokie.
Do you have any areas you want to kick things off with? I've got a little list, but I'd be very interested to know your points.
Well, I would say very high up there, because I think it will still be one of the best places to invest, is Liverpool.
Liverpool is actually my number one.
Yes, oh, I'm not surprised. I think that's still a great area. I did a lot of research about Liverpool, actually, because I always find it really weird when I go how many derelict houses there are.
Mm.
But we're also claiming to be in some massive housing crisis, and it never quite adds up. I'm always like, well, why, if there's so many houses there, we like, can't we just put everyone in Liverpool?
Do you know what it is? Do you know? I mean, you can tell me if you're about to say, but do you know why that is?
Well, yes, I know there's a few reasons why. But yeah, you go ahead.
It's because the build costs.
It is.
So when you go to
other things that made it that way.
But I was talking to some developers yesterday, and they were saying it's so difficult right now to find land to build. Because we were talking about this. You said to me yesterday at a Christmas party. She's like, "What were you guys off talking about?" I said, "Politics." I'll tell you what we were talking about right now.
Okay.
So we were saying, isn't it annoying that Labour came in and they were like, build, build, build. We're gonna build however many million houses, and I think 1.5 million houses, yeah, over the next 5 years. We're gonna make it easier for developers. We're gonna help with finance. We're gonna help with plan. What have they actually done? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
Literally.
They've like, just made it harder.
All talk. Build costs have gone up. So I found a plot in Pelsall. We were visiting the Midlands for family, and I'm always on the lookout for potential opportunities. And we drove past this old pub. It's got a load of land behind it. And I was like, oh, that could
and
be...
And it's been derelict now for years.
It's been derelict for, yeah,
looks
years.
Looks an absolute eyesore.
Yeah. And I was like, that could be an interesting opportunity. I wonder like what the figures would be on it. So, and this is, by the way, I know it is in the Midlands, but it's in quite a nice area,
yeah,
in the Midlands. So I looked it up, and it's got a chunk of land. There is literally a road next door. It's an infill. Now, the disadvantage is it is an old pub.
Yeah.
Now, with old pubs, they always want to do a viability assessment to see, you know, because they don't want to lose pubs.
But there is a pub across the road that also was renovated. I feel like that helps, that they let that get turned into two apartments.
That got renovated a few years ago. And this pub has probably been derelict 15 years?
Not quite that long, about 10 though.
Is it about 10 years? It's a long time.
And it's an absolute eyesore, isn't it? Like, why would you ever... No one's clearly going to buy it as a pub. It's been there 10 years.
It'd been derelict for years when we moved down.
Yeah, it was derelict when we moved here.
Yeah, and that was 7 years ago. Yeah. So it's been a long time. Anyway, I looked at it. You could probably fit about 14... houses on the site.
It's a big plot, isn't it?
It's a really big plot, load of land. There's a street next door, which is basically the same plot, which has got more than 14 houses on. So you fit at least 14.
Loads of access, so it'd be very easy to put a road in. It's not like, oh, but it'd be tricky with that many houses. It's got everything going in its favour, hasn't it?
Everything. Looking at the local house prices, if you did get 14 houses on there, it would be worth about 4 million. Here's the issue though. The build cost will be over 3.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, where's the profit margin in this? If you want to be looking at 20-25% profit margin in order to get finance for it, well, that's about all there is. That means you'd have to knock on the door and go, we want to buy your land. How much do you want to pay for it? Oh, nothing. We just want to buy your land for free, please, so we can build on it.
And if you're also doing developments like that, there'll always be ones where they're like, right, you have to do those cheaper social housing.
Yeah, your sill tax, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it doesn't stack, and that's the problem with Liverpool right now. You go and see abandoned properties. So I don't think development in Liverpool is a brilliant strategy because the houses are just too cheap.
Yeah.
However, because the houses are just too cheap, that means the yields are really good. So you can still buy, there's loads of properties you can buy in Liverpool for 100, 120 grand.
Which is crazy because that's just unheard of in most of the UK.
You couldn't build it for that.
No.
This is the issue. This is the issue. If someone gave you a piece of land in Liverpool and said, hey, do you want to build six houses? I'll give you the land for free. It'd be like, no thanks, I'll just go and buy six, please.
But I also read, very interestingly, one of the things that's led to such... so many derelict buildings was they seemed to, for some reason, the 2008 crisis hit them really bad. But also, lots of redevelopment plans have failed. So at one point, what they did was clear out streets of people. They evacuated all the houses and said, we're doing redevelopment in this area. We're going to... And then didn't.
Yeah.
And they've now got loads and loads of streets that are just... Every house is empty. But they never then...
Do you know why that is as well? I know lots of developers, right? They'll buy a site. Build costs have gone up so much that when you bought it, it stacked. And by the time they'd gone to get the builders on and put it out to tender, the quotes came back in, the builders up their prices. Now it doesn't work as a deal. So now what do you do?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough. Yields in Liverpool, the reason why we think Liverpool's so great, not only...
That sounded like... Liverpool's crap.
But it's great for buying.
Yeah.
The fact that it's not good for developers because the houses are too cheap shows it's good for buying.
Yeah.
So you can buy them for 100, 120. Yields are literally coming in at like 8 to 10%, which is, you know, crazy, really. Yeah. So even for just normal buy-to-lets, and because the yields are so high, even if interest rates go up, you're kind of protected.
Yeah.
So if the mortgage rates go up, you're okay because you're getting so much rent.
Which is quite good, because like we've said recently, buy-to-let's almost dead, because you just can't...
But it works in places like Liverpool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's dead in London.
Yeah.
Doesn't work in London. Places like Liverpool, it does work. So I think Liverpool's great. And also, the whole northwest of England is expected to get the most capital growth over the next 5-10 years. So not only are you getting really high yields, really cheap property, you're buying in an area...
That it's going to go up, isn't it? We're not going to be here... It's a bit ridiculous even now, the difference between Liverpool and down here in London. But eventually, Liverpool's going to go. We're not going to just keep going up in London. It's like, oh, the one area in the UK that just never goes up in value. That can't possibly happen.
Yeah, I agree. It also works decently well. I'm just looking. We've got a tool called Deal Sourcer, and it tells you, for serviced accommodation, average occupancy rate, average nightly rate. So I'm just going to check Liverpool now, because I think it works pretty decent for service accommodation as well. Yeah.
I know a lot of people that say they're off to Liverpool. I think it's very popular, if you don't mind doing SA, for stag do's.
Yeah.
And things, hen parties. There's the Beatles, everything to do with the Beatles. People go to Liverpool to, I think there's the Beatles experience.
You've got two massive football clubs.
Yeah, I think.
So for a one bed apartment, this is based on 796 units. For a one bed apartment, you're looking at about £192 a night. Which is really good.
Yeah.
The occupancy rate is not amazing. It's about 57.7. But still...
But still, you're getting... For how cheap the property will be to buy, that's pretty...
It's pretty decent.
Yeah.
So it is an all-round good area. Liverpool, number one. If you're looking to invest... Also, I haven't even factored this in, but if you don't have very much money... Like, you could buy a buy-to-let in Liverpool and only put down 25 grand deposit.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know... It works really well from a low starting point as well. It's a low barrier to entry as far as property is concerned.
Yeah.
All right, number two. You got any other ideas?
I think most of them will be up north. Leeds, maybe, I would say, is probably very good to buy.
I do have Leeds, but I've got Leeds at number four.
Oh.
All right, so we can talk about Leeds, though.
Still made the top five.
Yeah. Leeds has got a really good student market. So for student HMOs, Leeds is brilliant. The yields are still good. So areas like Headingley, for example, you're looking at 8%-ish yield. So it's really good yield. But students, they're the sort of... It's recession-proof, isn't it?
Yeah.
Students, they're always going to be studying.
We're not going to suddenly be like, oh, we have none now.
No.
And also, if anything, people are staying in education longer and longer and longer. And like, you meet people in their mid-20s and it's just like, oh, I'm still in education. And you're like, Oof, flipping out. I was working a job at 18, like, and that felt quite late. Do you know what I mean? After going to college. But people stay in education now for ages, don't they?
They do. Tip for Leeds. So there's something in Leeds, and a lot of the UK, if you're looking at HMOs, HMOs work very well in Leeds, called Article 4.
Yeah.
So Article 4 basically means, if you, well, it means you, they've taken away some permitted development rights.
Yeah.
So in Leeds, one of the great strategies is buying a normal house, which is a residential house, and turning it into a HMO. And you don't need planning permission to do that. You can do it under permitted development. Article 4 in Leeds basically says, oh, for these areas, we've got too many HMOs already. We don't want you taking away our residential houses. We're taking away your permitted development rights. So you'd have to get planning permission.
But if you take one on that's already a HMO, you have grandfather rights on it, and it will always, you always run it as a HMO. So that's always good if you, you know, you can always, you know, either rent to rent.
Yeah.
Or buy one that already is running as a HMO, and you're all good. You don't then have to get
correct. Planning. So your three workarounds are that. Number one, buy an existing HMO. Number two, buy a house outside of an Article 4 area.
Yep.
The even better than that is buying a house where Article 4 has been announced it's coming, because they don't just turn it on overnight.
No.
So they're like, oh, Article 4 is going to come in this area. If you can buy it quickly, get some HMO tenants in, you've now locked that property in. You've now given it the grandfather rights. That's a really good strategy.
I always think that's really good when you know it's coming in to buy a few properties.
Or number three, and I was actually dealing with a student, and when they signed up for our training, they'd already bought a house to do it as a HMO, and they didn't know about Article 4. And they were like, oh, we're going to turn it into a HMO. And I'm like, oh, no, it's already... you're in Article 4 here. So now they've got three options. Option one is just rent it as a single let.
Yeah.
Which in Leeds isn't too bad, because the yields are decent. Number two is go for planning permission. You can still do it. You've just got to go through planning. However, because the councils have made it Article 4, they've done that for a reason.
Yeah, they're not going to let everyone just carry on. Otherwise, why would they even bring it in?
Exactly. So there's a very good chance you get rejected. Or number three, and this is what I recommended our student doing, and this is what they did, was rather than doing it as a normal HMO, they did it as social housing.
Yes.
So they rented it to a housing association, very similar setup to a HMO. But housing associations don't care about Article 4. So that's how they got around. It's actually your other option. So there you go. So
you can turn it to SA.
You could do SA. Yeah, you could do SA. 100%.
I think SA would be better than buy-to-let.
In Leeds? I think SA would work. Shall I have a look at what it's like in Leeds? Should we go on DealSource and have a little look? All right, so DealSource. So Liverpool, 192, 57.7% occupancy, right? Leeds, how does Leeds work? I'm looking at the city centres, by the way. So Leeds city centre, Liverpool city centre. So the average market rate is a lot less, 114. Oh, still not terrible.
But quite considerably less, though, than Liverpool.
But the occupancy rate is slightly more, 61.3%.
Okay. But Liverpool would be better for SA.
Liverpool is better for SA. I think Liverpool's a better area, hence why Leeds is number probably, 4 on the list.
Yeah, and Leeds is better for HMOs because of the university. There's a lot of big demand on students in Leeds.
But if I lived in and around Leeds, I'd rather invest in Leeds than Liverpool, just because I know the area. I do think it's important that you invest in where you know.
So I wonder if... I've had a total mind blank. What was I going to ask?
Oh, this is going to be a good one. Hold on, guys. Brace yourself for this. So Anna's got a wonder if question coming now. So invest in where you know.
Oh, yes. I wonder what the percentages, I've never looked it up, of them giving permission in Article 4 areas. What are your chances? Because they do, but is it like, they do 5% of applicants in Article 4 areas. I don't actually know that stat. And I'm guessing the fact that you're quickly typing on your laptop, you're not sure of that stat either.
No, I do know. I'm just thinking it through, just trying to remember the answer. What I am not doing, something went wrong. What are you talking about? No, I don't know the answer. No idea. All right.
Yeah, I wonder. That would be something we need to look up.
We'll have to think about that later on. All right. Number two. I'll give you a clue. It's pretty close to Liverpool. So we've done number one. We've done number four. We're doing it in a random order because Anna doesn't know the list.
Manchester.
Yes. Manchester. This is my favourite. Oh, I do love London. Manchester is probably my favourite city in the UK.
I would say. Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
I love Manchester.
Like, so what, where have you got that on your list?
I've got it as number two.
Yeah, and just I would probably rather buy there than Liverpool just because I prefer Manchester and I get swayed by my emotions.
I agree. The reason Manchester's number two is because the statistics, if you're an investor and you're going on return on investment or yields, it's like Liverpool just is better.
Yeah.
But if you, I just prefer it as a city.
Yeah, I do. I love actually both. Love it as a city.
Yeah.
If anyone's ever coming over to England, I'm always like, go to Manchester, go to Manchester. I don't know what it is about it, but I just think it, I think it's got the buzz of London.
Yeah.
But it's smaller and quieter and not quite as overwhelming as London if you don't know it. So I think, I just think it's a great city.
I do. And it's probably the place that's predicted to get the most capital growth out of anywhere. So from a capital appreciation point of view, Manchester is where it's at. It kind of feels like a nice middle ground between London, you're buying because it's London.
Yeah.
Right, and you know, and we'll get to London later on, but London, you're buying because it's London, but the yields and stuff are pretty terrible. Liverpool's like the opposite. Liverpool's just like really cheap, really good yields. You know, it's a great investment area. Manchester kind of feels like you're getting that London vibe.
Yeah.
But not far off Liverpool prices and Liverpool yields.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like Manchester a lot. It works really well for serviced accommodation.
Yeah.
Really, really well. I actually know these stats off the top of my head. Oh. I don't even need to look them up.
Not even.
192 and, okay. 70% occupancy rate.
So it's way better than Liverpool then.
It's way better for SA. Right. It works for HMOs.
Yeah.
If you buy just outside, I mean, the city centre is quite expensive. If you buy just outside, places like Salford and places like that, you can get, people can tram it in to the centre like 10 minutes. Yeah. So it's still a good area, but it's a lot cheaper.
Again, with SA, they've got the two big football clubs. There's a lot of buzz around Manchester. I feel like, I can't help but feel, in the nicest possible way to Liverpool, serviced accommodation won't be as good because people know it's a bit, parts of it a bit of a dive. They hear about all the derelict properties. Well, Manchester hasn't got that. It's very appealing for people.
Yeah.
It's appealing to go to university. It's appealing to go to the football matches, go on a holiday, just go to the city. So I do think that. And you have to take that into consideration because if you are buying for something like SA or, you know, I'm a big believer that SA can work most places. But if you want one that's absolute, like look at the difference in stats there for the occupancy rate. And of course it is. Because Manchester's a much more appealing city to go to on holiday or for a weekend than Liverpool.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. All right, number three, I'll give you a clue. This one is not in the UK, which is the only one on our list that's not in the UK.
Okay, well, I think I will know what this is.
Well, there you go. Well, I won't give you any more clues then if you think you know from that clue.
Wow.
Well, and I'll give you one more clue. We are... I'm going to invest there next year.
So, and it is amazing. Dubai.
Dubai. Dubai is number three on our list. Now, I will be honest, I don't know as much about the Dubai market as I do about the UK market.
No.
So, for me, Dubai is going to be more of a learning thing. Yeah. I've seen, so I'll give you some of the stats.
It's quite exciting, though.
It's very exciting. So, villas, for example, in Dubai... have gone up. What? How much percent? I'll get you guess this actually. Since 2020, okay. What percent? 5 years. Percentage? Do you reckon they've gone up by?
Just villas overall, or villas in a?
Villas in Dubai overall. Villas have gone up more than apartments.
20%.
So you reckon, like, if they were, let's say they were 1 million, you reckon they've gone up to 1.2 million?
No, probably more.
It is definitely more.
Actually. Probably, no, 40%. I reckon they're now, the ones that were worth 1 mil are now worth 1.4.
All right. 100% would obviously be double.
Yeah.
Do you not reckon they've doubled in 5 years?
Well, now, yes, because... What? Oh, 5 years doubled. That's crazy.
It happens in the UK sometimes, though, doesn't it? If you look back, you know, it's not. It is a lot, but it's not like, oh my God. Like, if you go back to 1930,
yeah, true.
They have on average more than doubled every 10.
Well, that's true.
You know, in England.
Just sounded a lot when you said it like that.
It just sounded a lot. That 20% is looking pretty stupid now, isn't it?
No, I think... let's go for something wild. Guess the other way then.
Go on.
200%.
Very close.
Oh!
206%.
Wow.
Since 2020. So even then you were still too low.
Too low, yeah, still, even with my crazy. Oh, wow.
So absolutely gone. And I was chatting to an estate agent. So off plan is a really good way of buying property in Dubai because they do so much building. So we're actually getting a home out there. We're looking to invest in Dubai. I still want to invest in the UK.
Yeah.
But I think Dubai is a golden opportunity right now to make these sort of returns. So we were chatting to an agent and he was saying they're building a new palm.
Yeah.
So on the palm where we're going to be living, the house prices, you might have a villa, like a signature villa, and it's like, might be worth 60 million AED, for example. And he said, you could buy the exact same villa off plan on the new palm for 20 million AED.
Yeah.
So you know, even if prices stay the same,
you're going to make serious money.
You make 40 million, but it'll go up as well. So you'll make way more than that.
Yeah.
The risk is that you don't know when it's going to...
Yeah, is it going to be made in five years, ten years? Will they just go,
It's supposed to be ready before. Like, it's massively delayed. Yeah. COVID delayed it, all this sort of stuff. So
it's definitely the long game.
It's a bit of a risk, but it could potentially be an amazing investment. The other thing that you can do, because stuff's getting developed all the time, is you can buy, I don't know what to call this, but I'm going to come up with a name for it, off plan.
Off plan. Wow. How long did it take you to think of that?
I just came up with it just now. But do two offs make an on? Turn it off, turn it off again. On plan.
The off plan.
Anyway.
Yeah. Stupid name.
Off plan is where someone's bought it off plan, they've put the deposit down, it's now ready, and they can't afford to complete.
Okay.
And then you swoop in, and it's almost like lease option type territory, and it's different, but like where you sort of get an absolute bargain, but you swoop in, you buy them out. Because they got it at such a bargain, you're basically splitting the difference.
Okay.
So because they can't afford to, they've got a great deal. It's like, all I need to pay is this, and I've got this house worth way more, but I don't have the money.
Yeah.
You come in, you pay a bit more, pay them out, they get a little kickback.
There are lots of opportunities like that. There is.
If you get in with the right agents, there is.
Okay.
So
that's amazing.
It's a bit of the Wild West. You've got to be a bit careful because there's so much stuff going on. Like, when we, even like renting a property, you like, it's up with like 12 agents and you're getting contacted left, right and centre. And my experience of it so far is very, very different. I want to go in and learn a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know masses about the Dubai market, which is why I'm going over there.
And we've learned so much just finding our house we want ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's been exciting, but it is all done different. And yeah, it is crazy, isn't it, how it works out there. Also, you can get carried away. It's something new. It's something shiny. Doesn't mean don't be careful.
No.
Doesn't mean every opportunity is a great deal.
There are risks as well. So one of the risks would be, because they're building so much, if the supply dries up, especially for apartments, and then suddenly they could fall, right? It's very, very volatile.
Yeah. Yes, because at the moment, Dubai is so appealing that, you know, people are flocking there. They said by the end of last year, 1,500 people were ending up in Dubai every day. New people were coming in. So yeah, of course, they're just building. But suddenly, if something changed or, I don't know, that people were like, man, the appeal's kind of gone of Dubai. Or somewhere else starts and everyone's like, oh, let's go to there.
Let's go to Abu Dhabi.
If there was a mass exodus there, you seriously could end up like that. You can almost picture it a bit like in America where they've got villages, towns that are just deserted.
Yes, whereas here we are tried, tested, 100 years. I definitely wouldn't go all in on the Dubai market.
Yeah.
But to do, you know, to make it in your top five places, to diversify a little bit, I definitely think it deserves a space.
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think it's very exciting. And I think, yeah, the one you were talking about, the new palm, because there's someone on part of the palm we're going to be staying at, and he owns multiple houses on the one fond. But he'll have done that. He would have bought five or six properties back in the day, and now he's absolutely reaping the benefits of it.
Yeah.
And like, he'll have earned millions.
Oh, mate, loads of them have earned millions.
Yeah, just by buying 6 properties that have now, like, just shot up. So, yeah, I think Dubai is very exciting, especially if you've got money you can invest now and can wait for a while to reap the benefits of. I think it's very, very exciting.
I agree. All right, next. Final one to make the...
Final one to make the top five.
We've
done Liverpool, Manchester, Dubai, Leeds.
So I'll tell you.
Ooh, I was building up the suspense. Yeah, go on, tell me.
Hull.
Hull. Okay.
Again, up north. It's very good for entry level.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people, when they're buying their first investment property, they haven't got as much money saved. You can literally buy terraced houses in Hull for like 50, 60 grand.
Have you ever been to Hull? I don't know if I've ever been to Hull. We probably did back in the day when we were...
Maybe. I know a lot of people that invest in Hull. We've never bought in Hull. No. So,
I don't feel like I know a lot about Hull. So it probably wouldn't have made my list just because...
But if you start with little money, I think Hull is definitely a good place to
and
go.
And what's that good for, SA or HMO?
Yields are really good. So yields can literally smash like 10%. You could get 11% yields.
Okay.
I'm not sure about SA. I'm just looking it up now.
I don't hear many people go, where are you?
SA is decent.
I'm off to Hull.
SA is pretty good. Good nightly rate. SA works in Hull. I think. I know people that do HMOs in Grimsby and Hull and areas
like that.
Yeah,
okay.
So I think Hull, for the price, is a very good area. You don't need a lot of money to start.
Which is great, isn't it? Because that's what's difficult for people, always just getting that first property.
It works very well for BRR. Yeah. So there's a lot of people that there'll be a house that should be worth 100, but you can get it for 60, and it only needs like a 15 grand reverb or something. Pull your money out.
Okay, perfect.
So it works really well for BRR, and a lot of people do BRRs in Hull. I've personally never invested, but when you look at the data, it's kind of got to make it into the top five.
Okay.
So there you go. They are our top five areas to invest worldwide, but mainly UK, in, because we're UK based, in 2026. However, we're now going to talk about the five areas to avoid.
Oh, well, surely number one, where it would be on my list, London.
London is... Now, I was actually tempted to include London on an area to invest.
But they made number one of...
But then it made number one for don't invest. But let me explain why, because like, there is a good rationale behind this. So, house prices are bottomed out in London. Let me sell London and why London's great, okay? If you go to places like Chelsea in London, house prices have dropped back to 2017 levels. We've basically lost a decade. However... If you factor in inflation, so in real terms, because obviously money's worth less, they're back to 2007 levels before the 2008 crash.
Okay, so,
you can buy a house like today in Chelsea or a flat in Chelsea.
You could have bought in 2007.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that is insane. For the same price. I didn't realise it had quite gone like that.
And for this reason, obviously everyone's selling out of London right now, but wealthy investors are buying in London right now. People that live in Dubai, for example, the amount of foreign investment in London has gone up massively over this year compared to previous years. Yeah. So people are seeing, hold on a second, this has massively dropped.
And we've it's going to go up. It is, like you say, property prices always go up over time.
Exactly. So that's why I think London could have made it into the list for wealth holding. Here's the problem, though, and this is why London doesn't make my list. Although, it depends on what your strategy is.
Yeah.
If your strategy is just long-term hold, if you're a billionaire, and I just want
to... Which is what we were saying about Dubai. If you can put the money in now and reap the benefits later, it's a similar kind of thing to the off.
Exactly. I think London will go projects. Up over time. It's bottomed out. It's a great time to buy in London.
If you've just got money to invest now.
Yes. However... The yields are really low. So the yields are about 3-4%.
The restrictions. They've got so many restrictions in London.
The mortgage rates are higher than the yields. So if you were buying like a flat in Chelsea, for example, you'd probably lose money renting it out. So as a rental property...
And you can't do SA.
You can't do SA because of the 90-day rule.
Yeah, so that kind of...
All that sort of stuff's really difficult. All the credit strategy is difficult.
London would suddenly be like an amazing place to invest.
Oh, yeah.
But because they capped that at 90 days, suddenly, I actually know people that do it for 90 days and still make a bit of money because of how good SA is there. But it's just not worth it, is it?
No, it isn't worth it. So that's why I think London's that. Now, I'm going to throw an argument out to put London back in.
Oh.
Okay. So capital appreciation, potential, very, very strong. It's you're buying them dirt cheap yeah. right now. They're on sale. Yields, rental, service, it's a bit of a nightmare. Here's what potentially made me want to throw it back in. It's still on my overall no, because I think most people listening to this is probably a no.
Yeah.
But I do think if you know what you're doing, it is a very good area to invest. So bear in mind everything we've just said. One of the big strategies, and again, we've got students that are doing this. So Noah has just done this. Noah's just bought a place in Notting Hill.
Yeah.
And he's pulled out all his money straight away. So it's basically a free house now he's got in Notting Hill.
Yeah.
Now, yes, he's going to rent it as buy to let and not make very much money, but he's not. He's selling it. So he's bought it. He's going to profit over 100k from a house in London.
Okay.
So if it had been a BRI, it'd have been to pull all your money out. But then you're left with something that basically washes its face.
Yeah.
But he did it as a flip. Okay. So what he did was he bought a property with a short lease.
Yeah.
And the thing is, right now it's a brilliant time to buy properties with short leases.
Yeah.
Because they've scrapped a lot of the... They've got all these new rules coming in to make it really easy to extend the lease.
Not all of them are in yet, but they know they're coming in, don't they? So
you can use it to negotiate. Yes. So now is kind of the sweet spot to buy these properties. The values are still low. You can negotiate them right down. If you can extend the lease and you can use the new rules, this new leasehold act, marriage values getting scrapped. They had a high court judgment a couple of months ago because all the freeholders were like, no, it's not fair. And they were like, no, marriage value is getting scrapped.
Yeah.
So you can use this in your favor. And this is what Noah did. Massively raise the value of his property. He gave it a little bit of a refurb as well. He's going to flip it. He's going to make like, I think 125 grand.
Yeah. Oh, it's brilliant. Also, I'm really for the new rules. I've always found the fact that you can buy apartments, but then really, are they yours? Because actually, if you let the freehold go down, it just becomes nothing, doesn't it? You could literally just... The property would become worthless.
Yeah.
Which is crazy when someone's invested, say, their life savings or something, been paying their mortgage and can actually just have it taken off them because they can't suddenly pay this bulk payment to extend the lease.
Yeah.
So I'm totally for the new rules. I don't know what you... We've never really discussed it.
I agree. I think it's
people,
good.
If you're paying your mortgage, the property should be yours.
But I think that while I think now is the opportunity to jump on it. So with short leases, I think it's a really good opportunity. And yeah. The other thing that people are doing, again, we've got loads of students that are doing this, is they're buying cheap commercial property, because commercial properties yes. crash in London, and they're converting it into residential. I also think that is a goldmine opportunity. So yeah. I think London, overall, for a normal investor,
probably
not. You need more money, etc. But yeah, if you're very rich or if you know what you're doing, can be a goldmine of an opportunity in London. So overall, no, but I do like it. All right, next, number two. I'm going to go Cornwall. Local councils there are literally having like a war, because people obviously buying Cornwall to rent out as SA.
Yeah, of course.
Councils don't like it. Everyone hates you. The neighbours hate you. The council hates you. They've doubled...
It wouldn't be my go-to place to invest.
They've doubled the... council tax.
Just try and put people...
So a lot of, yeah. I just don't think it's a great area to invest right now. And it's very seasonal.
Yeah.
So I'm like... The one good thing it had going for it was SA. The capital appreciation is not expected to move. I just don't think it's a very good place to. I would not want to be buying in Cornwall right now. Next area, basically where we live now, actually areas around London, the commuter belts, places like Surrey, very high prices to buy and very low rents.
Well, the thing is, these kind of areas are amazing which is why we live here. Because it's 20 minutes, 22 minutes to be precise, to get into London centre. And we're literally there in the centre. But we can live the quiet life in the suburbs. And it's like genius. It's like the best of everything we find anyway, because unless you want to totally live in the city centre. And I do, it's these places that have got good train lines, so you can quickly, they're just, the houses are gone, aren't they? Because
it's a brilliant place to rent.
Yeah.
Or hence why we rented, oh no, we now own, but we rented here for years.
Oh yeah, it's really hard to rent a house here. They just, they're on, they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because actually it's come to a bit of a standstill buying.
Yeah, it has. It's slowed right down.
The rental market, everyone's like, oh no, I've got to move out because my landlord, I might have to move out of Beaconsfield.
Yeah, also a lot of the houses are in that mansion tax territory.
Yeah.
You know, but even the average house price for the smaller is like, it's still like 500k.
Yeah.
So the yields are low. They're just not very good investment properties.
No.
These
houses never are though, are they?
No. No.
Because the rent has to be so, so high to cover the mortgage.
Great place to rent. Yeah. If you're making a lot of money, invest in Liverpool and Manchester and Dubai and, you know, Hull, and then rent here.
Yeah, that's the best.
Number four, Cambridge.
Didn't you just invest in Cambridge?
I invested in a hotel in Cambridge. Very different from a residential. You can't, whoa, ho, ho.
I think you were just trying to put people off investing in Cambridge with you.
Yeah, that's my place. No, Cambridge. It's just Cambridge and Oxford, which is the next one. They're kind of similar. The yields just aren't very good. They've kind of got that charming university town value. But when you just look at the stats, it just doesn't really work. They got
both
more...
absolutely two of my favourite places to visit. They're both stunning, aren't they?
Yeah.
Very, very beautiful. But that's a shame. But yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, they're not great places.
So the example is like BRRs, very difficult to do there. Yeah. It's very difficult to add the value because they're already so expensive. And
did you do a BRR there?
Would I do a BRR in Cambridge?
Did you do a BRR there?
What I would do in Cambridge, which I know what you're getting at, is I would pay £1 to get an option agreement on a hotel that I can buy for 2 mil.
I think you're just trying to hide your gold...
Hold my gold mine area. Yeah, Cambridge is really, it's really my number one. So there you go. There you have it. Let us know.
I think you only did four, didn't you?
No, Oxford and Cambridge. I lumped them in together.
To hide
as
the Cambridge thing.
Just skip over Cambridge. But here's what we want to know from you. Where are you investing in 2026? And what strategy are you using? Please let us know in the chat. Do you agree with our list or not? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Russell Leeds.
I'm Anna Leeds.
We'll see you next week.